Got your Bibles with you, please turn to Mark 15. Just that one verse, probably one of the most puzzling verses in some senses in the whole of the Bible. And of course the passage in Psalm 22, which is in a sense the background of the agony that the Lord Jesus went through. The psalmist of course is writing of his own agony, but when you take that agony and it's on the lips of Jesus, it's incredibly disturbing, poignant, all that the Lord was going through. Today we're going to look at this one verse in Mark chapter 15, verse 33. We're at noon in the broad daylight, and the sun was at its highest. It became like midnight. At noon, that verse says, the sky became extremely dark. There have been thick dust storms that have blocked out the light and plunged a large area into a murky darkness. There have been very heavy storm clouds in some parts of the world that almost bring an eerie kind of feeling that we've gone into the night. An amazing situation. But I want us to think about not the darkness that is without, but the darkness that is within. For there was darkness also in the soul of Christ. The darkness lasted 3 hours, it says, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus groaned out of the depths, crying loudly, my God, why have you abandoned me?" This darkness which overwhelmed the soul of Christ is much more amazing, much more awful than the darkness that enveloped the land. Usually our Lord lived in the sunshine, you could put it that way. It's true that he had a hard and a rough and a troubled life. He was born into a poor family. He had few, if any, comforts. This poor home he had to take over, we believe, the work of the carpenter, his father, who died, and he's now working this carpenter shop through all those early years, those silent years, no record of them much in the scriptures, where he is supporting his mother and a large family of brothers and sisters. And he worked hard as a carpenter. And poverty never left him. He never made a lot of money, nothing beyond just providing for his mum and the family the bare essentials of life. And the Lord Jesus, it's true, was a lonely man, because he was misunderstood. He was thought mad by his family, you remember last week's reading, and he was pursued by the national leaders with a relentless and malignant hatred. So it is true he had a hard and a rough and a troubled life, and yet he was a man of joy. Isaiah 53 says he was a man who suffered and who knew pain firsthand. And yet, he never talked about his sorrows, but he did talk about his joy. He was a man of joy. Think about that passage in John 15, where he's saying to his disciples, "I've told you these things for a purpose, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be wholly mature." Or may be complete, different translations have. this joy that the Lord Jesus had. What was the secret of it? We need to understand this in order to understand the readings that we've had this morning. What was the secret of our Lord's joy and his happiness? It was surely his consciousness of his Father's presence and of his Father's smile. You remember at his baptism, a voice comes out of the sky, "You are my Son, chosen and marked by my love. You are the pride of my life." You remember Matthew 17, on the Mount of Transfiguration, a voice comes out of the sky again. "This is my Son, marked by my love, the focus of my delight." That was the secret of the Lord's joy. No matter what he was going through, everything that he faced, that was what helped him. The consciousness of the Father's presence and of his smile upon his life. But now, as he hangs on the cross, he felt that he'd lost this sense of the Father's presence and the smile. He felt that he'd lost his fellowship with the Father. And because that meant so much to him, when the sky became extremely dark and the darkness filled his own soul, and that darkness lasted 3 hours in the darkness that was without, the darkness that was within. And he cries out, my God, why have you abandoned me?" There's a mystery here. It is the mystery of the cross. It's sacred ground. We don't want to rush in and start pulling apart the physical suffering and pain of the Lord Jesus. There is something going on here that is beyond our complete understanding. What we know is that he bore the pain of the nails and the pain and the mockery of the people and the pain and the taunts of the priests, with endured all of that without a murmur. But when for a moment God's face was hidden from him, when he missed the shining of his Father's face, then he broke that silence with this incredible lament, this heartbroken cry, my God, why have you abandoned me?" The words, of course, are quoted from Psalm 22, verse 1. And as Jonathan read that passage, so many other things in there that were happening to him, prophesied so, so long ago. My God, why have you abandoned me?" We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Christ was the beloved Son. He was the beloved Son at the baptism when his ministry, public ministry, began. He was the beloved Son on the Mount Transfiguration when he met with Moses and Elijah and they discussed what was going to happen on the cross of Calvary. And he's the beloved Son, and never more truly the beloved Son as when he actually hung on that cross and in obedience to the Father's will, when he made this last and total sacrifice of himself. But Christ had identified himself so fully with us humans. He entered the human family, and it was a sinful family. And he, the one pure member of this human family, took the sin of the whole family upon himself as if it was his own. And you and I know, as sinners, the one bitter and inescapable result of sin is that it separates man from God and woman from God and young person from God. The sinner feels as if they've been cast from the very presence of God. And Christ, for a time, shared this awful doom, the doom of sin, and his fellowship with the Father is closed down. But he submitted to it. He submitted to it because that was how redemption was to be achieved. That was how redemption was to be achieved. Now we're jumping ahead, but we almost can't help ourselves from jumping ahead, because after this anguish, of course, we know there's the triumph. God is still near to us when we seem to have lost sight of him. Christ felt homeless and forsaken. And yet the Father knew it all. He knew everything that was going on, everything that his Son was going through. The Father was by his side. And though surrounded by the darkness, though apparently forsaken, he still cries out, "My God. My God." When Christ could not see him, still he clung to him. Christ trusted the Father, his Father God, in his deepest of nights. We may not understand the depth of the agony and the depth of that separation. We may not understand all of the why-fors and the wherefores, but in the midst of that, let's focus on Christ. He's still trusting. He's still obeying. He's still surrendering. He's still doing what he'd been sent to do. And because he did, my brothers and sisters, you and I are here today. Because he did, brothers and sisters, you and I have a Saviour, have a Redeemer who will save us, as the old version says, to the uttermost. Someone wrote a book once, "From the Guttermost to the Uttermost." Because of what he did, because of what he went through, but because he continued to trust. And Pilgrim, I think we can need to take heart from this. It's not just facts, it's not just information about Jesus, but it's understanding, it's looking at this amazing, can we call it a wonderful experience, encounter between the Son and the Father. Though there's many parts of it that we may not understand. But to take heart for our own life as we follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus, that in the darkest hour, God is near. whether we feel it or not, whether we can see anything or not, whether we have any tokens of his presence or not, we can take heart because he is near and promised never to let us go, never to leave us. And through it all, let's learn to trust in God. Through it all, let us learn to depend on his word. My God, why have you abandoned me? And there is a great pause until we come to the next verse next week. Loving Heavenly Father, what can we say? It's a bit like the mystery that we have with birth. We are aware of some of it, but we have no idea, Father, how you birth a little child. But we enjoy the wonderful results of that. Father, how can we understand how you birth salvation, how you birth forgiveness, something that occurred 2,000 years ago and the impact that it can have on any and every person's life who you touch and draw to yourself? We can't understand that, Lord, but you do it. And you've brought new birth into our life. Loving Heavenly Father, as we walk the road that is before us, whether it's hard or easy, sunshine or storms, whether we are wealthy or penniless, help us, Father, to learn to trust you. Help us, Father, to learn to depend upon your word. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.